some of that.
Well, in our group finding, I think you got the 37 in not level. Three, you're inquiring for any membership in the desire to stop drinking. Four, inclusion could be a time to check for matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, these groups have for one primary purpose, to carry its message to alcohol to still suffering. Six, an AA group offers a network in your finance to let the AA name to any of us who may be facilitating for outside enterprises. These problems of money, property, or things are elected from our primary purpose. Seven, the AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, providing outside contributions. Eight, our thoughts and honors should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those we serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A program related policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always remain personal anonymity as a member of the press, radio, or finance. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our tradition. Ever remind us that principles that one more
around. Right. Hey, thank you, Anthony. Appreciate that, brother. And our meeting format calls for a guest speaker followed by open discussion. Our guest speaker will share for between 30 and 45 minutes. We're calling on people to share. During the open discussion portion of the meeting, we ask that you be mindful of the amount of time that you spend sharing because we'd like to give everybody a chance to participate as we can. And it is now my great pleasure to introduce tonight's chair speaker. This is Bear from Hanford.
Yeah. I'm Bear, and I'm a very grateful to all of
you. Hey, Bear.
If there's any of you sitting in this room tonight that are nervous, don't worry about it, because I'm as nervous as a cat shitting razor blades. So, welcome, and I'd like to thank Bill and David and anybody else that's involved in bringing those of us that are speakers coming in. It's a great pleasure and it's an honor to be able to be in front of you guys. I started out the very same way a lot of you did. I was voluntold to go to rehab or lose my job, and so I had to go to rehab. I didn't like it. I didn't want to be there. And if there's anybody that's sitting out there today that don't want to be here, welcome. We're glad you're here, you know. It took a lot of soul searching to try to figure out exactly what was going on in my life. I got a little something that I read out of the big book normally when I share, and I'd just like to read that right now for you. I'm rated as a modestly successful man. My stock in material goods isn't great, but I have a fortune in friendship, courage, self-assurance, and an honest appraisal of my own abilities. Above all, I have gained the greatest thing afforded to any man, the love and understanding of a gracious God who has lifted me from the alcoholic scrap heap to a position of trust, where I have been able to reap the rich rewards from showing a little love for others and from serving them as I can. And the reason why I'm here today is because I'm serving you guys. I'd like to start out with a little story, if I may. I spent 20 years in the United States Navy, and some of you may not know this, but the difference between a sea story and a fairy tale is a fairy tale starts out with once upon a time, and a sea story starts out with this is no shit. And this is a no shit story, okay? My wife and I spent an awful lot of time during the Christmas, the Thanksgiving holidays, going to the Roundup down in Las Vegas. And we were down there 1 year, and we stepped outside to have a cigarette, and the backside of the Riviera faces the front side of the circus. And there was a guy who was driving down the street, and he must have been speeding, and one of the Las Vegas police stopped him. And, of course, they got up to the car and asked him, said, "Hey, man, where's the hurry?" And the guy tried to explain that he was he worked there at the circus, and he was running late, and he was speeding. And the police officer says, "Well, what do you do at the circus?" And he says, "Well, I do a lot of things with knives, and I mostly juggle knives." And the police officer said, "Yeah, right, The police officer looked in the back, and he saw in the back seat a whole bunch of knives. And the police officer said, "Well, if you're in it," there's another police officer on the other side with his gun drawn, because he saw the knives, right? And the police officer said, "Well, let's see what you can do with these knives. What's going on here?" And my wife and I are standing there and watching this whole thing come down. And the guy went in the back and grabbed a hold of a couple of knives, and he started juggling these knives, throwing them up in the air while the police officers are standing there with their guns drawn, you know. And a young kid, probably with 30 days or so of sobriety, came walking out, and he looked over and he saw that. He says, "My God, am I so glad that I got sober when I did. I'd never be able to pass that sobriety test." Bad joke. Yeah. Welcome, guys. You know, I got around to the point in my life where alcohol and the freeze-dried stuff was not my friend anymore. And I didn't realize it at the time. You know, I came home from an outing, a 3 or 4 day outing. I had no idea where I was, where I did, what I did, who I was. All I know is I was home. And my wife was really pissed. And she was telling me that I needed to settle my butt down and try to become a little bit better of a husband and a father. And apparently I got upset about that. And I pissed in the wall, I broke a full-length mirror, and she called my boss. My boss came over, and I came out of my blackout, sitting in my living room, probably around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And as I'm coming out of my blackout, it dawned on me that my boss and my wife were talking, and I wasn't particularly happy with the subject of what they were discussing. So I tried my level best to try to change the subject. You see, the subject they were talking about was me. And it didn't work, you know. My boss turned to me and said, "I want you in my office at 7:30 tomorrow morning, pronto." I didn't realize exactly what was going on, but that next morning, I came into his office, and I normally come in and I sit down on his couch in front of his chair and his desk, and we start shooting the breeze. And I came in and I sat down on the couch, and he said, I didn't ask you to sit down, I want you to stand at attention in front of me." I kind of went, "Whoa, what's going on here?" You know? So I did so, and he said, "You picked up the phone?" And he said, yeah, like that. And put the phone down. And he turned to me and he said, "Follow me." And we were heading toward the big boss's office. And the big boss, I went by the secretary, and his secretary just kind of shook her head, you know, like as if to say, "You're in trouble now, dude, whether you like it or not," you know. I stood in front of my commanding officer, and he had two manila folders in front of him. And he said all the normal things that he'd say to one of his shipmates. And he said, "I have two folders here in front of me. I have one folder that's going to send you to rehabilitation, the dry dock right here in Pearl Harbor. And there won't be anything known of it. It's all going to be hush-hush. And you'll be in pretty good shape." And he said, "Of course, if you don't want that, I have another folder right here that says that you'll be out of my Navy within the next 48 hours. or something like that. I'm somewhat of a sea lawyer in a way, and I kind of went, I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do, but I didn't know that. I did know that he could probably get me out of the Navy pretty quick, because he and I came up through the ranks together, me in the enlisted ranks and him in the officer ranks, and we'd been stationed together before, so I knew a little bit about what was going on with him and how he was treated people, and he was always a straight shooter. And so I decided to go on ahead to rehab, and he just kind of shook his head and said, wise choice. And I thought I was going to have a couple days. And he got his driver, and the driver drove me down to the rehab, and I sat in front of a guy, I'll never forget the man, his name was Pete Peterson. He looked like a big old bulldog behind his desk. And he said, it's the first time I was called an alcoholic. And trust me when I say this, more often than not, people will tell you that nobody can really tell you if you're an alcoholic. By rights, you have to be the one to tell yourself that you're an alcoholic. You have to be the one to discover it. He not only called me an alcoholic, he called me a fucking alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And that really pissed me off. But I kind of held my temper and kind of looked at him. And then he slipped a piece of paper in front of me. It was a prescription for drugs called Antabuse. He says, I want you to go down to the dispensary. I want you to get this prescription filled out. And, you can come back up here. And I pushed that paper back in front of him. I said, I don't need that stuff. I'm okay. I can handle this, you know. And he pushed it back and he said, you don't want to take this Antabuse? I said, no, I don't need it. He picked up the phone again, dialed up the phone. He said, yes, sir. And he handed the phone to me. And guess who it was? My commanding officer. And he said, that gentleman is sitting in front of you. You will pay attention to what he's got to say. And everything that he is ordering you to do, you might as well make it known that it's going to be my orders. So do it. And I said, yes, sir. And I went down to the dispensary. I filled out the prescription. I came back. And I spent 2 weeks live-in, 2 weeks daily, and another 2 weeks going to meetings. I wasn't happy there doing it. I had my first meeting I was at, I had my arms crossed, my eyes crossed, my legs crossed, and my balls crossed. I didn't want to learn anything from any of you people. There wasn't anything that you could tell me because I was the smartest person in the world. And all you had to do was ask me. And, I got to tell you, there's a lot of my story that I sometimes come across with, but the basic thing and the amount of sobriety that I have today is to tell you a little thing about my sobriety. I've got 40 years, 25 days, and so many hours, whatever the hours are. I don't know what this. I celebrated a couple months ago, in December. And I feel pretty good about that, but I also am in awe. If there's anybody sitting here that has 2 days or 30 days or whatever it is, you're not only welcome, but you're a miracle. For me, I wasn't sure I could get 4 hours of sobriety in, let alone 4 days. Now I got 40 years, and Jesus, I'm absolutely amazed. And I don't say that to impress anybody. By the way, I am not a circuit speaker, so if you're looking for somebody that's really, a dynamite speaker and all that good stuff, you probably have to go to another meeting, because I'm just a no-dopes drunk, just like anybody else, you know. I enjoy helping out alcoholics. I consider it a pleasure and an honor to be able to help others. I sponsor people. I go to roundups and speaker meetings, and I do. I mean, my wife, is she still there? Yeah, she's still there. You can see the top of her head. in sobriety, my wife, and she's probably going to shoot me when I say this, she celebrated a benchmark birthday yesterday. And she had four out of a five of her children there, here, and some of them are still there at the house now with us. And that's a real godsend. And the reason why I say that is because there was times in her life, and there's times in my life, where my kids didn't want anything to do with me because I was drunk. You know? I thank God when I came home that one time and busted that full length mirror and put a hole in the wall with my fist and all that good stuff. My two children didn't wake up. You know, now my son and my daughter both called my wife, their stepmom, and told her, you know, happy birthday. I'm very young, getting kind of teary-eyed right now. It's the greatest thing it's been afforded me. And it could be the greatest thing it's afforded you. But you know what? I have a little thing that I'd like to tell you. If you want sobriety, grab a hold of it with both hands. There's a couple of books up here that you probably need to read. There's things you need to do. I still go to 5 and 6 meetings a week. I love noontime meetings. I was kind of weaned on noontime meetings, so I go to a lot of the noontime meetings. Over there in Hanford, we've got a noontime meeting that's 6 days a week. Another noontime meeting is 3 days a week. And I just enjoy the shit out of it, you know. I go to meetings to meet new people. I go to meetings to let people know that, hey, you know what? You can do this. You can do this, you know. But guess what? If you don't want it, fuck you. As simple as that. It really is. You know, I mean, this thing is not for people who want it. It's not for people who need it. It's for people who work it. It's for people who work it. And you gotta work it. It's a little bit of work, folks. It really is. You know, I got a sponsor, and you know what that asshole did? He told me that my original direction was to look in the mirror and say, I love you. That was my original direction. You know how I did it the first time? Fuck you. You know? After a period of time, I finally started to look up and started to look at the guy in the mirror and face back at me. And after a period of time, I come to find out that I love that asshole. And I can still be an asshole at times. You know, some of the guys that I sponsor, I try my best to be as nice and as kind and loving as I possibly can. But you know, this disease is a killer. It's equal opportunity. It don't care whether you're rich or poor. It don't care whether you're white or black. It don't care whether you're a Christian or a Buddhist or whatever, you know. It makes no difference. It'll kill you. And the thing about it is, it'll keep you alive. For me, I was doomed to go to the third alley down, the fifth dumpster in. That's where I was headed. I was headed for losing my job. I was headed for losing my family. I was headed for losing everything. And guess what, folks? I have watched it. I've watched it in the time that I've been sober. I've watched people lose everything. And still out there in the street drinking. Now, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what's going on. All I know is the disease of alcoholism tells you you don't have a disease. It tells you it's all right. You can have one. Folks, guys and girls, I never had just one. I don't know about anybody else sitting in this room, but I've never been able to have one tote, one drink, one glass. It just impossible. I couldn't do it. And that's one of the reasons why I stay away from it. You know, I really and truly believe in my heart of hearts that somehow or another, the God of my understanding reached down and told me that I needed to be able to stay sober. Now, I found a God in my life, you know. And there's a lot of, I used to go to the roundups down in Tehachapi, and there's an old guy down there, he passed away. And, he always said, you know, some people call their God Buddha, some people call their God Jesus, Some people call their God Allah. I just call my God often. That's the way it is for me. I prayed before I started tonight. I prayed on my way here, you know. I'm not here by myself. My lovely bride is here online. I saw it a couple of other people at the house around, hopefully. And they probably heard my story before. And there's probably other people who are sitting in this room that heard my story. Did you hear my story before? Go back to sleep. It's okay. No. Here's the way I do it. I read the big book. Now, I don't read it often. I go to big book study. That's when I read my big book. I read it 12 by 12. I don't read it often. I go to a 12 by 12 study. I read the daily reflections daily. I read the 24-hour book, or the 24-hour selections. I read that daily. I used to get on my knees, but it's really hard for me to get up, so I just stay in bed. And a lot of times I stay in bed and say, you know, God, allow me the opportunity to be able to give to others, treat others the way I would like to be treated, and allow myself the opportunity to learn more about what I need to be and to be a better person today. Now, I'm about to get up, and when I do get up, all bets are off. You know, I'm a human being. I don't know about anybody else, but I do. I forget, you know. And my old sponsor used to tell me, you can always start your day over. And I do. Anytime I start my day over. There's times that just, I want to say, what the? Please, God, help me. You know? And I got to give it over to God. But guess what I do? I give it over to God. What I do? I take it back. I give it over to God. I take it back. I give it over to God. I take it back. I'm sure one of these days God's going to slap me and say, son, let me have it, okay? Just let me do it. He hasn't done so yet because I've got that little thing called free will, you know. And when somebody goes back out, they've got the free will. They can do that. Now, I grant you that there are some people that are, that the disease of alcoholism has got is so implanted in their mind that they got to have just one. Now, when you consider just one, what is just one? One is too many and a thousand is not enough. Guaranteed, you know. I was one time with a friend of mine. We were going to an area where he was in the hospitals and institutions, and I was kind of helping him out. We went to a halfway house, and we went to the office where the manager was, and he had a little wooden table sitting out in front of him with a wooden plaque sitting on it. And the guy I was with, he knew the manager, and the manager said, "Hey, I got something I want to show Manny. Would you mind waiting?" And I said, "Oh, not a problem. You know, I'll sit there." And I looked down at that wooden plaque, and that wooden plaque said, "If God is not as close as he used to be, guess who moved?" If God is not as close as he used to be, guess who moved? Now, they came back after a period of time. They came back and said, "No, we're going to have lunch, and after lunch, we're going to have a meeting, and you guys are welcome." And so we went out. And when I came up the hall to go to that office, I didn't see it. And I still think those guys put it up there. Maybe not. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. All I know is I was walking down the same hall, and there's a big old poster, almost as big as a square there for the top of the post there. And it was a picture of a big old orangutan who was laying on a log. And the caption said, "Just when I found all the answers, they went and changed the questions." And I do that almost on a daily basis. Whenever I find the answers, the questions have changed. So, you know, if you're looking for answers, you know, for me, I find the answers, but oftentimes the questions change along with the answers. And oftentimes I have to face what is reality. You know, one of the things I found out by going to men's retreats and so forth, a lot of the guys who go to men's retreats and that are in counseling and that, you know. And And where the counseling and that is concerned, it's really a great thing. I'm glad they do it. I couldn't do it. I was asked to be, you know, I had the opportunity to do it. I turned it down. And the reason why I turned it down is, and I found out just recently, is because I have a lot of empathy. I get really down when somebody goes back out. I mean, really down. It hurts me. It hurts for me to know that there are people that just don't understand what's going on. And you know, if you've got an ego like I've got, I was an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. I could jump from one side to the other. And I still can. I still can. But guess what? I try my level best to stay in reality. Sometimes reality sucks. It really does. But, you know, I have to face it. I have to look at it and say, you know what? This is the way it is for now. Things oftentimes change, and they will. But I've got to stick with the reality. I think one of the reasons why a lot of people go back out is they can't not only face reality, but they have a hard time facing themselves, that looking in the mirror. I have to look. I went to a meeting one time when I was fairly new in sobriety. I was sitting up in the front. My sponsor called it Serenity Row. And a speaker at that time was an old guy from San Diego. His name was Preacher Carl. Preacher Carl got up in the front of the room, and he started out. And he turned and he looked at me, and he was reaching in his back pocket as he came around the podium, and he stared right at me. Said, "Boy, you want to know what your problem is?" And I said, "Well, I couldn't answer that." And he pulled out this metal mirror and shoved it in my face, and he says, "There's your fucking problem. There's your problem." And he put the mirror back, and he went back up in the podium, and he started out. And I thought to myself, what, am I sponsored to put him up to that? Who the fuck does this guy think he is, anyhow? So I'm walking down the sidewalk with my sponsor, and I said, you know, I got the feeling that he slapped a cane in front of in the seat, NBC beside me, I guess to wake me up. And he said, you know, I told my sponsor, I said, you know, this guy's cane and his mirror are going to go someplace where the sun never shines. And my sponsor looked at me and said, no. You need to understand. He's probably trying to tell you something. He's giving you a message, asshole, whether you like it or not. I spoke at the very same meeting one time, 6 or 8 months later. And I'm walking down the same sidewalk, and I turned to my sponsor, and I said, well, I wonder what they thought of me. He put his arms around me, kind of shook me, and said, you poor dumb bastard. Aren't you going to understand that what other people think about you is none of your fucking business? Boy, that really pissed me off, you know? And it took me a while to understand. I don't care what you people think about me. I look in the mirror today and I say I love me. I'm the most important person in this room, whether you like it or not. But I also got to tell you that if there's any one person in this room, one person that can get at least one day sobriety about what I had to say today is worthwhile to me. And it would be worthwhile to you if you could just stay sober for a 24-hour period. That's all we got is 24 hours. All we got right now is now, to be honest with you. That's all I got. Oh, there's another moment went by. Oh, there's another one. They just keep going by. I keep getting older. I don't like it. But guess what? It's part of life, you know? I was telling Bill that we've got, there's a very dear friend of mine that's, I don't know what's happening with him. Another very dear friend of mine down in Boulder City passed away not too long ago. I hear things like that and we had a grandson, my wife's grandson. He passed away a couple months ago. God bless him. He just couldn't get it. He was unable to get it. They found him in a porta potty filled with drugs, dead. Our whole family tried our best to help him. It just didn't work. I can't tell you who's going to stay sober and who ain't. There's probably a pretty good chance when I got out of rehab, the day that I graduated, they were saying that out of my class, when we started out, there were 27 or 28 of us. 21 of us graduated, and the other ones either got transferred or died, or one of them wrote his motorcycle on the wall. Nice. Another one decided to drink on antabuse and died. You know, the counselor said, one in 32 will stay sober. One in 32. I was voted most likely to get drunk within the first 6 months. I stayed sober. The guy that was voted in to most likely stay sober after 6 months got drunk after 3 weeks. Is there a rhyme or reason behind things? I don't know. All I can tell you is if you have the mind that I've got, try this thing out. Stay. Try to get a sponsor. Read the big one. Go to more meetings. And try your best to understand that the only thing that we've got is one day. One day at a time, folks. That's all. Just one day at a time. Sometimes for me it's one moment at a time. You know, if you figure it out, there's 1,440 minutes in a day. That equates to 86,400 seconds. And sometimes I gotta do it 1 second at a time. God damn, I hate that. But I gotta do it 1 second at a time. And those seconds build up into minutes. And the minutes turn into hours. And hours turn into days. God bless you all. I sure am glad that all of you are here. Thank you very much for letting me. And thank you, Bill. You're all right.
You're all right. I don't care what Sandy says about it. Hey, if she's saying it, I'm honored. Hey, our meeting format calls, this is already. We're now starting the discussion portion of the meeting. We'd like to hear from as many people as possible. Tonight, we've hit a new threshold. We've got 35 people in attendance today. That's online. Yay! I'll say when you move a group, and we had to move, this group had to close because the church that we were using closed us down, and then we went online for a while, and we survived through all that, and we moved back here. But anytime a group changes like that, the attendance drops off. And when I first got sober, this meeting used to be in the hospital basement. It was called the Blue Room meeting, and there were probably 80 to 100 people that showed up every Sunday night. So I'm thrilled that there's 35 here tonight. But the downside is we've got roughly 40 minutes left together. So y'all have exactly a minute and about 4 seconds. I'm kidding, of course. But just keep in mind there's a lot of people here tonight. We'd love to give as many people as possible a chance to share. I'm going to turn the meeting back to Bear, and here's a list of our attendees. There's remote ones and in person here, and give them a shout.
You know, I see Colleen here. Colleen, you got a few minutes?
Thanks, Bear. I'm Colleen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Colleen.
Hi. Yeah, I'll be quick, and hopefully the kids won't be too loud, sorry. But I'm glad, so glad I got to be here and listen. And I appreciate your share a lot. And one thing that stuck out to me is just talking about, you know, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 second at a time. Thank God I'm at a point, you know, I can't say it. Like, the drinking and stuff isn't my first thought anymore, thank God, you know? But still, life happens and hard things happen. And, like, today, just a couple hours ago, RJ, my husband, his uncle passed away. And he was really sick for a while. And so we're really, you know, it's been a hard last couple of hours. But I'm, by the grace of God, thankfully, like, you know, taking a drink was not my first thought today, you know, and it's how can I be there for the family? How can I be there for my husband? How can I be there for my, you know, our uncle's wife, our aunt, and the rest of the family? And, so I appreciate that, you know, and like you said, Bertha, I don't know why I stayed sober, and a lot of people I got sober with didn't, and are dead. A lot of them are dead, and I'm just super grateful for sobriety in this program and getting to listen to people like you who have tons of years and, you know, see how you're doing it one day at a time as well, just like us, you know, and with that, I'll say thank you and let other people share, but I'm really glad I could be here tonight. Thanks.
Thanks, Colleen. Is there an Anthony E. out there?
Yes, sir.
Hi,
I'm Anthony. I'm all
caller. Hey, Anthony.
Thank you for your share.
I appreciate you sharing. That's one of my favorite quotes of people in 10 years of learning everything, so I appreciate that. It reminds me a lot. My great-grandma used to tell me, you have $86,400 in a bank account, somebody still $10 off your wallet, you're not going to have your bank account hired. Investigators to find that person in the same way that somebody steals 10 texts for your day, you don't let them know the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised to hear that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
one. So I'm pushing 6 months.
Push it, baby.
One of my counselors asked me the other day, you know, where would the people who are so connected? I volunteer at 3 houses. I'm of service at meetings. I just got here as a driver, so I try to bring one of the houses almost every day now in comment for me. But because I know personally for me, if I'm not connected, then I'm a go-worker. So, I appreciate you sharing, and thanks.
Who else, the gentleman has got the pen in his hand now?
Oh, my name's Kyle, I'm alcoholic.
Hey, Kyle!
So it's good to get out of your comfort zone. Speaking publicly is pretty difficult, but getting a lot of encouragement from the program, from the people in the program. Today I worked with my sponsor. I'm working on the first step, coming to that point of acceptance. It's not my first time in recovery. I actually got recovery a couple times, but it always led to a worse sort of relapse. I had a sponsor, Kenny Holcomb. He's telling me, he's all, Kyle, I come to him with a problem. He's all, Kyle, you can't afford to worry about how other people think of you. All that matters is how you think of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I haven't got to that point where I can look at myself and tell myself I love you. But, you know, I'll get there. You know, I just got to work those steps, go through my moral inventory, you know, clean the house. You know, be a service. And that's all I got. I was taking number 24.
Sammy Jones. You there? You're not there. Oh, my God. Or maybe she don't want to speak.
Let's see if we can get her up. I don't see her. Let's come back to her.
Yeah, let's come back to her. Who are the girls here? Which name again? I didn't hear you.
Leslie.
Leslie?
Edmund.
Oh, okay.
And Esmeralda.
Hi, Esmeralda. Esmeralda's the wife.
Thank you.
This one's funny.
How about the gentleman that got us the coffee?
It's Ricky.
I'm just a little over 4.5 months.
Right on, yeah.
This year has been a little different because this time I would want it to change. You know, I drank most of my life and always got myself into trouble, got people pissed at me, and, you know, I just came to a point in my life where I realized that, you know, I have to do something different to expect different results. And I know I couldn't have done it by myself, so I have to get into this program. And ever since I have, it's one of the best choices I've made because I've rekindled relationships with my children, my siblings, my parents. And it's helped me a lot. You know, I put my life back together because I was falling apart. And being in this program, I've met a lot of good people, and I don't regret it at all. I'm really, really, really glad I did.
This is a beautiful name, Destiny. Who's Destiny?
Oh,
you gotta go? Oh, bummer.
Sorry, guys.
All right,
thank you.
Be safe. Be
safe. Thank you.
Wow.
Okay.
That's half the room. Sammy Jo, are you still there?
She's not. Oh,
well.
Who would like to share? Anybody? Sergio.
Yeah, my name's Julian. I'm a alcoholic.
Hey, Julian.
It's getting strong, you know? Like, Ricky was saying that he said he's doing it because he wants to do it. At that point, well, I think at the point, last year, I was working my way up to get to rehab, so I started rehab clean. We started this year clean, and I'm gonna end it, you know, because I have goals. I set myself goals like that, you know. I feel like, oh, it's not the right day, or it's not the right time to start this, so that's how I'm doing it, you know, that mindset. You know, and I'm in service. I appreciate the house, the guys, the people who surround me, you know, stuff like that. I just support me, and I'm pushing them.
What about this gentleman here in the corner? Go on.
My name's Patrick. I'm calling.
Hey, Patrick.
Lately, I went down, got my program. I'm not able to be in service as much as I used to. Not going to as many meetings as I used to. Most used to my schedule. Just feeling, you know, like not wanting to like drink or anything, but not feeling like I'm thrown in the program. And that can be an uncomfortable position to be in. And I went to a meeting last night, and, you know, I humbled myself, I asked for help. You know, I kind of like talked about the situation and just had an open suggestion. And, one of the ladies there, she approached me afterwards and she gave me a suggestion, and I followed it, and I did the things that were in front of me at that meeting. There was somebody new there. I reached my hand out to him, introduced myself to him. There's a couple people there that I reconnected with, and I was talking to them, called my sponsor. And, you know, today I'm feeling pretty good. But that's because I asked for help, I took that help, and I took the initiative as to, you know, the things that were in front of me. Yeah, if I can keep dealing with those things, I think I'm just going to stay sober today.
So,
thanks.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Thank you. David back there?
David.
David back there.
Dave's not here.
What is this?
He's
not
an alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you, Matt, for sharing. Awesome. I got to the point where from my sponsor yesterday, I got to the point where I had that open mind, that willingness, and that honesty about being so ashamed. I went over the fourth step, went on to the fifth step yesterday, and I had this feeling of just, well, I had this thought first, and as I was going through it, in my alcoholism and my addiction, I was just slowly pushing a knife into my chest, you know, that's pretty much what I was doing.
Hmm.
The it's great now you're just going over it, now I'm just feeling this and thinking this, but as I'm going over and moving to the fish that it's like I'm removing it now. You get a sense of freedom, of being free, and not having these ill feelings in my mind, you know, I'd be wanting to be staying at work, and it's also the way you explain about you know, when other people bother me. I heard some meeting after too about inventory, someone said that people are gonna take inventory of you. You know, it's a given, but you have no control over that. You know, I had to learn that. I'm pretty bad this last week with some fellow employees at work there. Take my inventory, and I have no control over those things. You know, for me, it's just having that open mind, that willingness, that honesty to change, to grow in the program. That's all I got.
Thanks. Online, Erica, are you there?
I'm here. My name's Erica. I'm an alcoholic. Hey guys, thank you so much for your share. I really love the gruffness of it, and it's not exactly how I came into AA. My experience was way different, but you know, there are a lot of similarities as well. And I right now I'm working on a step one assignment, I guess you could call it. Basically, taking it back to my powerlessness and moments where alcohol has made me completely powerless, and how I've lost things over that. And you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I hold so much regret. And there's like a lot of pain, and I'm sure some people can relate to that. But I was just reading recently the AA Promises, and it kind of, you know, it's something that gives me relief, because these are promises that if we follow the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, things will get better in our life. The one that kind of just stands out to me the most would be, no matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And that's like just something that I have to keep in my mind, you know, that I'm not going to hate my past anymore, that I'm not going to regret it. You know, I'll be able to just be at peace with myself. So, thank you so much for your share, and I'll let someone else. Thank you.
Sure. Well, the gentleman just came in to sit down.
Oh, thanks, Mayor. I'm an alcoholic for 10 years. 40 years, congratulations. And then I finally said, please, give me a hard time for 4 hours. I feel so hard. Having 4 hours, and today I had a way better than I deserved. I guess today, kind of been 3 years and 8 months today.
We can clap for that.
Because back before I got sober, I was being on too many. I took power to return my sanity back to me and get me sober. And that session was removed. I thought it would never be removed. I thought, that's all I was concerned about. Not about the healthy kids, the wife downstairs, the new house, and all that stuff. Despite the rumors picking up, thinking how many it started to keep going. But today, you know, I have a way better life than I deserve. My mother died last weekend, and not once did I think of getting drunk. Not once. It just went to the ones who are still here, the people that are And like something like one of the, I mentioned that I had a wave on my dessert this past Friday. My 11-year-old son Cruz had his first flag football game, and he lived in Long Beach with his mom. I used to live down there in Long Beach, but my ex-wife and her boyfriend FaceTimed on her boyfriend's phone on his phone's wife. Yeah, they both took turns holding the phone, so I could watch my son's entire football game.
Wow, that's great.
And that's coming from a woman who, when I went to reunite with his son, you know, there was a couple years I didn't see him being incarcerated and different things happening. When I went to reunite with him, she came out of the bed with a handgun in her pocket. I never knew her that only in my cat. And that she said, I thought it was been out of your mind for years ago. Now she came to me to go along. She called me for advice on how to approach her son. And, trust God for the house. It's not as I did with her. Things that you could never imagine having. The jammer bottoms, two of the socks, and a five pocket. We'll have this one. So I'm not sustaining this. But, the sponsor of it. Experience that I Jerry, I'll call it and I'll call it.
Thanks, Jerry. You're probably going to hear from this girl next week. She's going to be the speaker, but I'd like to call on her just to say hi, Sammy Jones. She's there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Sammy.
I'm Sammy Jones. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
thank you, my dear husband, for your share tonight. I totally enjoyed listening to it. Never gets old for me. I was busy doing a breathing treatment, thanks to my cigarette smoking. Anyhow, it was a really, really good meeting. I had trouble getting on and off this dumb thing. It's been a long time since I've been on it. We're back in the rooms now, so I haven't been doing Zoom meetings for a while. But I'm glad you're there. I wish I was there with you. And I wish I could see everybody on this screen, but I can't. But basically, what Bear shared tonight is basically what we do together. Okay, we're one of those fortunate couples that happen to be in recovery together. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not. But it works for us most of the time, you know. I was told by my sponsor when I first got here, stay in his bed and out of his head. And that's what I've been trying to do for 33 years. And sometimes that works and sometimes it don't. It just depends. Anyhow, I'm glad to be here tonight. And thank you again for your share, hon. I love you. And don't quit before the miracle, you guys. Please don't quit before the miracle. First of all, you never know when it's coming. But don't quit before it comes because it will get greater later. Thanks for letting me share. Hi, Bill.
Awesome.
Can I prevail upon somebody to give me another cup of coffee, please? Somebody?
Actually,
black. Not good, yeah. Thanks. Who else? Is there anybody on the back there in the back? Anybody like to share?
Go on. Or an alcoholic.
Storm.
Yeah. Hey, Storm, could you possibly use your outside voice and maybe come a little closer?
There you go.
There we go. We just want to make sure our remote guests can also hear you here.
I got 11 months, 17 days. I always have a lot to say. There's definitely been more than lunch. It's always good to see new faces and hear everyone's story. I like everyone's type of recovery. We all have different types. And they're all different examples to help keep us going, especially through all the crazy stuff we've all been through. So the more I talk about the things that are happening, the easier it kind of does the hardship of it. This year on January 25th, I had my daughter pass away. She's only 12 years old. I just found out yesterday that a really good friend of mine and friends of people in Pine and more, DeLoco, had passed away. Got very brutal, like, he didn't deserve that life. But it is a part of recovery. Life, death, institutions, mental prisons, you know what I mean? I'm lucky to survive too. I am a high risk 5150, because of all of my addictions to drugs and alcohol. My new addiction is sobriety. You know what I mean? That's what mine turned into. That and but it's not drugs or alcohol, so that's a win. I mean, we've all been on a crazy journey, you know what I mean? We all meet new people, and every time I'm in these rooms, I feel home, you know what I mean? First time out here, doing crap around, you know what I mean, around the wrong people, the wrong type of businesses, you know, it doesn't get you nowhere, but the same results. And I'm surprised I'm still up and running from 11 months to 12 months, which is my other time of relapse. And I mean, I'm a little more than halfway there to reaching my year. What I've done with my recovery is amazing. I'm first volunteer at Pines, staff aid over there, and I run the aftercare meeting over there. At first, they only started with, like, it would take five serious guys, and now we've got the adults, 23.
Right on.
It's a really big group, you know, and I could be more proud of everyone. Mm-hmm. They all have, helped kind of evolve that group, and it gives us brothers that we can actually rely on, keep each other accountable, tell us things we don't want to hear, be okay with it, you know what I mean? And if we're messing up in one area, I'll call it out, someone will, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of strength that I've been able to see in a lot of us. So there's a lot of people dying right now that hit home to every one of us. I just feel like we're able to kind of doesn't have to reach that close, guys, in your life. But always in my prayers, and always a part of my recovery, you know what I mean? So I appreciate everyone, and I'll definitely
come back. All right, thank you, brother. Help this young lady that's hiding around the corner here.
That's you. I never, ever. I'm Corey.
Where's
I have
been here
for 6 months.
Right.
I'm only the one hiding it on me, and I don't want to talk. And let's just say I'm grateful for today, because this is the longest I've ever been clean and sober for 25 years, 29 years. So my son leaves tomorrow for the Navy, and I've had to be there. I get to be there. Whenever I turned 17 today, I just have to spend birthday with him, and I got to see that. So I'm just grateful for everything. I didn't think I'd make it this far, but here I am. That's all.
Thanks, Corey. No, that's just the most we've heard from you yet.
It is great. Wow. It's about Edie Franco online. They're here? Bruce Franco? Making God. Okay.
Well, they got a video, but I don't see an audio signal. So, Edie Franco is not going to be able to share at this point.
Concerts. Okay. Put the big guy over here.
Hey.
Here's the man.
I'm just nervous, but I have one. What? 72 days?
Alright.
I'm in the background. I feel good. Over it. This is my was in my gifts, I don't know what might be left. But now my gifts, I just got my kids back, you know. It's hard when you're a kid. You don't care about you. Black out everything. Your surroundings. Like you said, I got a kid in the Navy SEAL. I'm happy for him. And but it wasn't my gifts, I would be like out there. I'm happy for our country. I'm ready to grandpa. I'm happy with that. And get the rest of a newborn baby, you know, I can't wait for the kids around. Grandma says, no more candy, grandpa has candy. But don't say you guys, bro.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for, you know, by the third bike, whatever, you know, be a grandpa. But my daughter, she's getting married. A couple days ago, she went to the house from Pioneer. And I said, we guys getting married, you know, most of the time. And my son-in-law was, that's why I came here. Grab your blessings. I married your daughter. And I told him, yes, I'll just take care of my kids. That's it. That's what I want the best. And that's why I was at my addiction. Because I got married, and I don't know about it. And everybody invited. I'd be embarrassed about selling drunk, taking his business, whatever. But he's a good guy. Has a job and everything. And so I want to go to her for work, take care of the kids, not home. She wants to work. But I'm happy with that. I feel better when I'm sober. You know, and it is a God out there. You know, when you're in a kitchen, just drop that out too. You know? I'm still keep going to my meetings. I felt good when I go to meetings, go to church. While I was doing my dishes, I didn't care about that. I didn't know about God. Now I do now. Good for God. That's why I say for the day. I'll be here, my people. Say more.
Oh, good. That's right. One day at a time.
Yeah.
I
don't think
I'm
kind of capable, but it's my turn.
I think we ran out of girls, didn't we? What about number 28?
I sure really think.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, that's right. You were around the corner. Yeah.
Oh, there's one last right there, Jared.
Come around the front. Come on. It's going to look at you, baby.
I've just been doing what's been suggested, right? I've been reading my book, I do the reflections, I read my thoughts to send me the daily reflections, and I'll read like a verse of the day in the Bible.
You know, I trust God. I try to help others if I can, wherever possible, you know what I mean? Pray daily, I go to meetings, stay busy, and it's, now I have a little over 35 months tomorrow. God restored me things I didn't think were possible. In like 5 months, I never would have thought I'd be working again like where I used to work before after 3 years, you know what I mean? After, you know, all the drinking, and I never thought I'd get back to that point. You know, I never thought I'd have a family back in my life the way I do. So many blessings that I can't count it. You know what I mean? And I see you look at guys that have lost the intertwined, everybody else that I've lost, it makes old friends and stuff like that. So blessing you to be here. You know what I mean? It's a blessing to, you know, to have another opportunity. Because we were talking about it earlier, like death is the only guarantee we have if you go out and drink again, right? Like, I mean, jail institutions are blessed if you get to go back to jail and get locked up again, right? And you get to go back in time. Like, that's a blessing. But death is the only guarantee we have today. And one of my favorite spots in the book is we're not cured of alcoholism, we just have a daily reprieve, intention on our spiritual condition, right? So that's where I'm at. I just kind of pray every day. All day if I have to, you know what I mean? I say the Serenity Prayer, you know, things don't go my way. Maybe there's another, what is it? It doesn't have to go my way. Maybe there's another plan for me. Maybe there's another way to go. So, now we have, that's all you have to take care of.
Thank you.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
Desiree?
Yeah.
She left with that group of
women. No. Desiree, I'm mine.
Fine. Okay.
Desiree, alcoholic addict. Hello. Well, thank you for everybody's shares today. Honestly, it took me 30 years to finally surrender to alcohol, you know. Even though it wasn't just alcohol, it was also drugs, you know, but alcohol's what drew me to other stuff, you know, but yeah, a lot of things that you said stuck to me too, you know, because when I first started AA's also, I never wanted to go, you know, and for me, honestly, it's always been a little hard to express myself because I always had to drink a beer to talk, you know, and I like the way I feel now, you know, and it's just a little bit of time I have, but I feel so different. And I really look forward to working more of the steps, you know, because I already did. I mean, I'm working on step one. I got a sponsor this time, and I've never done that before because I'm the type that doesn't like asking for help, you know. So hearing all these stories, I love it, you know, because it motivates me to be like, I can do it too, you know. And people go through tougher things than I'm dealing with, and it's like, you know, if they can do it, I can do it too, you know. So, yeah, so I even had a family member who hasn't seen me in 2 years come over today, and she told me by just talking, I didn't even notice I was different, but she's like, you know what? You're not the same as before anymore. I could tell that this time you're actually different. Like, and I was just like, no, it's just that you haven't seen me, you know? And she's like, no, it's not that. So I was like, dang, you know, people are noticing change in me. So I'm really glad, you know, that I decided to actually participate more in AA's, you know? Because before I always felt like I didn't want nobody to talk to me. I was like, dang, don't even look at me, you know? Don't even call on me. Like, I would always stay in that comfort zone and never express myself, you know? But, yeah, thank you. That's all I got, and I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
Fun business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Has everybody had a chance to share? Anybody back here in the back? Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
My name is Tommy, and this is my 25th day of being sober.
Right on, Tommy.
Even though it's only been 25 days, I have a lot of good stuff happening. I've had to love myself, and I learned that my mom actually and my whole family actually care about me. Yeah, it's just, I don't know how to spread it. I'm happy with everything. I don't have a grudge against nobody. Everything just feels good.
Right on.
And that's it. Right on.
You really feel good coming all over you. Yeah.
Santos, Nathan,
Garcia.
What Garcia? It's
Hey.
Hi, I'm not sure. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we got you.
Okay, okay, let's see. My name's Jerry. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, hello. So I'm a part of the AA meeting here in Tulare. So this is my first time going on a Zoom meeting.
Cool.
And so I'm thank you for your sharing your story. I appreciate that. AA's really changed my life for the better. Almost lost my kids. Went to jail. Went through a lot of bad stuff in the last 3 years. So today is my 90th day sober. So that's why I wanted to get on a meeting. Thank you. Let's see. Just been real positive. You know that I can find other people that are going through the same thing that I'm going through.
Yeah.
And I look forward to getting on this Zoom because I have to do a daddy daycare. I have two kids that I got to take care of, so they're actually playing right now while I'm here in the kitchen, part of the meeting. So, but going forward, I'm gonna try to get on these Sunday night meetings, man. And I'm thankful and grateful that I found this meeting. So with that, I'll take my 24. Thank you.
Right on, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Appreciate it. All good things must come to an end. We have run short of time. But gosh, this has been a great meeting. I sure am glad we got so many different people to share.